and welcome to the Offside Rule. Myself, Kate Borsley, joined by Lindsay Hooper.
Hello.
And Hayley McQueen.
Hello.
My God, it feels like so much has happened this week. Hayley, the McQueen 11 starts right now.
It does. I don't know if I'm going to be able to sort of bash out 11 kids at the ripe old age of 39, but I'm on my way.
Good.
Congratulations.
Yeah, a massive congratulations. Thanks. From us. It's great to have another little baby involved in the Offside Rule fold. Mm. We'll be training him up to push the buttons, produce us, cut and edit, video us, everything.
Abby's looking redundant.
Could even be a girl, and she's already part of the gang, you know?
Do you know whether it's a boy or a girl?
No.
Oh, exciting. It was really lovely to see your news. We know you've got a little lovely bump emerging as well.
Little? Are you having a laugh? I don't even need one of those badges on the tube that says baby on board, because it's blatantly obvious.
Just stick it in people's faces.
And they're like, oh, when are you due? And they're expecting me to kind of say June or something. I'm like, September. And they're looking at, oh, twins.
Yes, fine. No, yeah, no. Absolutely fine. Have you had any sport-related morning sickness or incidents?
I've been really lucky. I've been so lucky. I've had a few cravings, fresh orange juice and fruit. But I mean,
that's good.
I am thankful. Yeah. And obviously the carbs. We have a pastry morning, which we've just, it's so exciting. I Instagrammed it this morning. We had cronuts, didn't we?
Cronuts.
It's a cross between a croissant and a donut, right?
Loved
and they
it.
Are delicious.
Recommend the cinnamon one.
I'd only ever seen them on American TV, but now I'm living the American dream.
Talking of food, Lindsay, how was your afternoon tea? Because you narrowly avoided a domestic involving the FA Cup game with Wolves, but we'll move on to that in just a second.
Great.
But part of this story involves you going to afternoon tea with the in-laws.
Can I also say it was one of the most expensive weekends for me to get to that match. I moved everything to the Saturday. I booked dinner on the Friday night as well as an extra compensation. So I did Friday night dinner with the in-laws to be. Then we did breakfast at Sky Garden. Then we went to, by the way, not cheap, Grosvenor House Hotel.
No, I'm sure
afternoon
it isn't.
Tea. So it all went swimmingly. All fine, apart from when it came to the Wembley day. And on that day, I got a message as well for quite a good job. Would you like to come in? We're a bit short. So I totted it all up after turning down work, booking all these escapades for us to go and do all together around London with Nat's family, and thought, I'm probably down about 1,500 quid.
Don't do that next time. Do not do those calculations.
I know I shouldn't. I'm just tormenting myself.
What else has been going on for you this week?
I prevented a fire. In a pub in Richmond.
Please, God, tell me how.
So I was waiting for my friend who was very, very late, and I really needed a wee. So bad. And I'd got all of my laptop set up and everything.
Oh my God, I hope that's not how you prevented the fire.
No, although that would be a much better story. But I was that person that goes into, it was a pub, but effectively like those people that go into coffee shops and then get their laptop plug out and get their phone charger plug out. I was that person. I'd got like a little system. I was all set up and I didn't want to put it all away. So I was like, I need her to get here and then she can look after this. Mm. And I go to the loo. So I was like, message her, hurry up, run. I'm really getting desperate. So she comes in with a really lovely brand new jacket on. And whilst I popped to the loo, there was a reserve on the table and she had to move all of the stuff to another table. And she threw her jacket on the sill. And then I come out and I'm like, I can smell burning. And the actual person behind the bar had rang the manager saying, I think it's the electrics. And I went over and I saw she'd thrown her jacket onto a candle. And I just about got it off in time.
Wow. So you prevented a fire. What an
I told you I did.
What about the jacket?
350 quid. And she's going to have elbow patches on it.
Okay, well, also within the last week or so, England have played those two warm-up games ahead of the Women's World Cup in France in June. A 1-0 loss to Canada, but a better result over Spain.
A few different things that I wanted to take away from this match. We'll get onto the football matters in a moment. But first of all, I'm in love with this new dark red kit.
Yes,
you know that they actually have
really
their own
lovely
kit now that fits.
It's
absolutely
red.
Lovely. So that got a big tick. But moving on to more essential matters, I thought that Jill Scott did brilliantly as a captain. So she was stepping in for Steph Horton. You look at Twitter and social media, all of the Lionesses saying that she did a brilliant job. I think there's a few things emerging as well. And one of them is a really lovely relationship between Ellen White and Beth Mead. So they both scored in the friendly against Spain. But in the goals and in the build-up, you could see that their understanding between each other is really developing. And it's also worth reminding ourselves that Beth Mead only made her international debut last year. It was last April. But she looks like she's been in that England team forever. I would say she's a pretty much shoo-in now to be going to France. 5 goals in 12 appearances now for the Lionesses. So she's doing brilliantly.
That goal by Ellen White, by the way, just into the second half against Spain. Awesome. And I have to say that that game, especially the first half, for me was some of the most exciting football that I've seen from the Lionesses.
And so now just 2 friendlies remaining before they all go off to France. Some final decisions for Phil Neville to make. But I think pretty much that that team is starting to pick itself for him. There's a couple of question marks over fitness. Fran Kirby, she'll be there if she's fit.
Do you mean Fran Kirby Grips?
Yes, Kirby Grips from anyone Sorry. Listening last week. And also Izzy Christensen to do with her ankle injury as well. So it will be interesting to see if they get on the plane. But England versus Denmark, 25th of May, and England versus New Zealand is the final friendly on the 1st of June.
I'm getting so excited. Like, I'm really looking forward to absorbing myself in a whole tournament. You know, that lovely feeling of working on it every day and starting to learn inside out about players that you hadn't even heard of beforehand.
And the viewing figures suggest that everyone's getting excited about it. These friendlies have got really good viewing figures.
In fact, so much so that Jim White is the new biggest fan of women's football as well.
He?
I don't think he'd seen much of it, but he works.
I'll tell you, fantastic goal there.
That was not bad. Absolutely. Breaking news. The women are amazing.
I've never seen anything like it in my life. Damn.
Well, he works 24/7. So we had the game on. We sit on set on Sky Sports News and we have our iNews and all our bits of information and research. But what you don't see is we have a big panel of large TVs in like ultra HD. So we got the women's game put on. We were on air at the time, which was great. And we got it put on our biggest television. And you kept sort of catching him when he was trying to come back to look at the camera straight down the lens. He was literally engrossed in the women. So I was really happy because I was like, you know, for a man like Jim, who's very busy and is used to watching, you know, Champions League, Europa League, Premier League games. And he was like, Hilly, I just can't believe the standard of this football. I was like, well, you should. You're bloody brilliant. All right.
Good.
So there you go.
Thank you. Got to mention Scotland, speaking of Jim White, this neatly moves on to that. Scotland beating Brazil in one of their warm-up games as well. Brazil ranked 10 places above the Scottish team. And of course, Scotland are the first side that we meet in the tournament in June. Can't wait for that one. England versus Scotland. If that's not a way to bring in a fantastic World Cup, then I don't know what is. Okay, well, you can keep up to date with everything Offside Rule and Women's World Cup. Some good stuff happening on our Twitter feed and Instagram at Offside Rule Pod, also on Facebook and on our website too, offsiderulepodcast.com. We are reviewing the games there, building up with lots and lots of pieces ahead of the World Cup, and we can't wait. All right, well, let's get into some of our topics today. We're going to get down to business by asking which clubs have been savviest in the transfer windows, and also getting down to Europe celebrating the best of British in Champions League action this week. But before we do that, let's get down to Wembley.
I won't be going there, though, will I, for the final?
I'm so sorry.
Wembley.
Oh, really? It's just, it is awful, isn't it? And I've got a confession to make. I turned on the TV and you were 2-0 up.
So it's your fault.
I'm so sorry. We sat down to Sunday dinner with the match on, turned on the TV, and I was expecting to see the last, you know, however many minutes of glory for Wolves. I was expecting to pick your little face out in the crowd, tears of emotion.
And you know what I still haven't seen? So I sent all my Watford friends, who were my friends at that point, I sent them all a message saying, oh, because I was part of the Wolves mosaic. So when all the players walk out on the pitch, that was me in the middle of it, in the Wolves end, holding
career
up,
highlight.
Yeah, holding up my yellow plastic bag. And I couldn't see what it actually looked like. I still, to this day, don't know what it looked like.
We need a picture, please, guys.
From coming out
Offside Rule Pod.
When the players came out for kickoff. So please, if you saw that, could you send me a picture? I asked everyone, no one sent it me. They were all too busy, obviously, celebrating.
Oh my goodness. You said on our WhatsApp group that Nuno had got the subs wrong.
For the first time, I think I'm going to be critical of him, because I think Nuno's been brilliant all the way through. And I can see why he did this. It was very late on. You know, we're 2-0 up and there's less than 10 minutes to go. And of course, Nuno's thinking, let's close this game out. So one of the first substitutions, he brought on Ryan Bennett, a defender, took off Neves. And you're thinking, yeah, I can get that. I understand why you're doing that. But I did not get the Cavalero coming on, taking off some of our best players, you know, Jota, Moutinho. And if it had have gone to penalties, those are the penalty takers. So we wouldn't have won on penalties, I'm convinced anyway. Traore, to me, has just got no sense at all, no football sense. He can run, but he just does not know what to do at the end. He can't deliver a final ball. Cavallero just cannot score. Until he does get the ball in the back of the net, it would be great if he did, for his confidence. But again, he went into that match, he hadn't scored. He did everything but score to get an equaliser. It was just... oh, heart-wrenching, because you thought, well, there we are, one foot in the final and completely gone.
Absolutely. Same as you, Kate. I was presenting the Rangers game and was about to get on a flight, was in our group chat, seeing that it was 2-0. I thought, brilliant, cruising, you're absolutely fine. Got on the flight, thought, it'd be so lovely to hear from Lindsay in the next few days, celebrating. She's planning her trip to Wembley.
Those Insta stories of celebrations, yeah, and drinks in the air.
And I was really confused. You were like, oh, sorry, commiserations. I was like, what's happened? What's happened here? I can't believe it.
The amount of people as well that have asked me about it, and you have to relive it, like, again, today, over and over. But just in short with Nuno, I think I can understand why he did it. He tried to bring some pace on, but I think those last couple of substitutes were wrong. He got that wrong.
And the fan experience, you met some nice fans there, I gather.
I did. So this is brilliant. And this is definitely my takeaway moment from Wembley, because I was thinking, you know, when we try and sum up our love for a footballer, we all have that footballer in our own team that we just can't get enough of. And at the moment, with the Wolves contingency around me, that definitely is Diogo Jota. He's been brilliant the second half of the campaign, and the way he keeps that ball at his feet as he dribbles past defenders, Watford could not handle him at all or his pace, and he looked sensational. So much so that the guy behind me at one point went, I love Diogo Jota so much I would drink his dirty bath water. And I burst out laughing because I thought it was going to be something obscene, maybe swearing, rude. So I turned around and I went, he's dirty bathwater. That's what you do. That's how much you like him. And he went, yeah, after he's been on a really bad, sweaty fishing trip, I'd do it. I'd drink his dirty bathwater. And then he said to me, would you? And at that point, we were 2-0 up and I said, no. And then at 2-2, I said, yes, I'd drink it now. But he was off the pitch by then.
Take nothing away from Watford, though. It was a really great game for a neutral. I have to say, one of the best games of football that I've enjoyed this season. It really was. De La Feo's goal as well. Absolutely awesome goal. Sorry, Lindsay.
Substitutes. He was an inspired
And it was an awesome goal. De La Feo, by the way, the only player on earth who's admitted to the offside rule exclusives that he'd rather be at Watford than Barcelona.
Okay, I'm in Barcelona since 9 years old, but sometimes you don't feel home. So I don't want to come back. I'm happy here in Premier League, and the future, I don't know, but I want to think in present and help the team.
Well, Saturday's match, City scored in the 4th minute against Brighton, and that was that, Hayley. Lovely gesture from Raheem Sterling, though, inviting 550 school children from his former school to come and watch. I love that.
I know, it's very cool. And you know what I love about that story? We can chat about other footballers giving money to charity or giving their time to charities, because they get a lot of stick. They're on the front and back pages of the newspapers for all sorts of problems. Drink driving, diving.
You mean when a player should really only drink water?
Yes, he really should only drink
this
water.
This is, by the way, for people who are new to the offside rule, this is Hayley's favourite moment of all time, because she loves talking about nice football stories. And I think that's really awesome, because we have to report on some rubbish things going on in football, and it taints the game and it takes the sporting side of it away. And so, Hayley McQueen, I'm going to give you a few minutes to indulge us in some of your favourite nice footballer stories of the week, please.
Well, instead of going back over the years, which I used to quite enjoy doing in our previous podcasts, I've looked at what's been happening currently. You probably heard about Sir Alex Ferguson having a party for the NHS.
Yes.
He had a massive party. We didn't mention it the other week when it was in the headlines. He's always been a great supporter of them, of course. He handed over £405,000, of course. He went through the NHS and had life-saving surgery, of course, and came out the other end and is fighting fit. Sir Alex is 77 years old. Just sounded like the best party ever, didn't it? Invited all the nurses and the doctors. Everybody was involved, patients as well that he'd met, and guests and various people. Everybody was heading along. And the Proclaimers performed. How brilliant is that? For free.
Good move.
And one of the punters that was there actually bid £5,000 to just go and have a picture with the Proclaimers.
Oh,
amazing.
Nice.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say with Sir Alex.
No.
Just the Proclaimers.
Just want the Proclaimers.
Okay, well, give us another couple of quick bites.
I love this one because it's not just about footballers giving money, but giving their time. And when you play lower down in the leagues, of course, you're not earning hundreds of thousands of pounds a week. And Will Vokes, who plays for Rotherham, has been volunteering at a children's hospice. He's been doing it for 2 years. He was made an ambassador of the charity. And yes, at the PFA Player in the Community Award was awarded to him at the EFL Awards in London. So that's absolutely brilliant. He pops along. His mum was a volunteer, so he said he grew up with people in his family who set that kind of example. He's a regular at Christmas parties, events. He turns up when asked. He just pops in on an afternoon after he's trained. And he said, I was basically playing the Xbox at my house and was just thinking I really should be doing something better with my life.
You do have to remind yourself that you take so much from those experiences. Like easily one of the standout things that I did was train RNIB college students in radio. Definitely when I was at university. And hospital radio, I love doing hospital radio. Going around the ward, seeing patients that sometimes they don't see anybody else all day. Lovely things to do.
It is. And fans as well. Fans, of course, helping out other fans, particularly on social media, which is so powerful. And a former footballer and pundit, Tam McManus, is running a Twitter auction. It ends on Sunday. We're recording this on a Thursday, aren't we? So if you're listening in the next few days, it comes out tomorrow morning, which is the Friday. You can go and get involved because Celtic fans are bidding for Scott Brown's worn shirt from that dirty old firm game the other weekend. And it's to raise funds for a girl with cancer who's trying to afford her treatment. So Scott Brown saw this, signed his shirt, has donated it, and you can bid on that as well. So that's lovely.
Tam is short for what?
Tom. Big Tam.
Tam. Oh, okay. Aye. Gotcha. All right. So you can look that up if you want to get involved. So the final between City and Watford, Saturday, 18th of May. Just quickly, Lindsay Hooper, who is your prediction?
Oh, City.
Okay, Hayley?
Yeah, City, because they have to.
They do, but I think if Watford have the same amount of magic, if they can conjure up that little bit of magic, and I know it's unlikely now, but if they can conjure up that little bit of magic, you never know.
Although I want City to win the league because I don't want Liverpool to. Sorry, Lins.
Oh, God. Me. Sorry, me.
Yeah. A City can lose out on the cup as long as they win the league.
Yeah, don't say sorry, Lins. Say sorry, Kate.
Oh, yeah. did I say sorry?
Sorry, Lins. Kate's the Liverpool fan.
This is the Offside Rule from Muddy Knees Media.
Getting down to Europe, let's do a quick roundup, shall we, of what's happened so far in the Champions League. Man United 1-0 down thanks to an own goal from Luke Shaw. That happened against Barcelona. By the way, that was the eighth own goal that Manchester United have scored in the Champions League. No side has conceded more in the history of the competition.
We like to just give away little gifts every now and again, don't
Madness.
We?
Madness. All square after some good fight from Ajax against Juve. Ajax player, by the way, Jurgen Ekelenkamp, came close to getting them a winner. I can't bear the fact that he was born in 2000. I just can't bear it. Liverpool cruising to that 2-0 win against Porto. Always going to be a tough ask for the Portuguese side. And their coach, who in his pre-match presser commented on Liverpool's above average communication department. Oh. That was after Klopp had come out and said, we're on fire, we feel good, we feel this, we feel that. And another good night for Spurs in their new stadium. Who'd have thought when we were talking about whether they were going to come unstuck having moved that they wouldn't at all. They're having a great time there. They take the advantage to the Etihad, 1-0 up after that Sun goal and the penalty miss from Aguero. So it's the first time since the 2008-2009 season that four British teams are in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. Back then, that was the year that United fell at the final hurdle to Barcelona. But do you remember the season before that? So 07-08, four British teams again got to the quarterfinals. Chelsea versus United in the final with that famous John Terry slip, handing United one of the great moments of all time for that club. Hayley, you'll know about that. Handing United the title.
Has the chance to win the Champions League for Chelsea. And it's a chance that has passed him by and the agony is there again.
Watch him slip, Martin.
I was there. It was magical.
Do you remember Ronaldo's tears?
Yeah, I think
after he missed, because he missed a pen, didn't he?
He's missed a few, to be honest.
Yeah. All right, well, do we think that history can be repeated and will we see an English team in the final this time?
The one thing that we know is the semi-final draw already, which is great because that means that we can sort of look at permutations. So the only all-English semi-final that could happen is Liverpool-Man United, although that's not looking on course at the moment, is it?
Only 1-0 down. Come on,
Liz. I don't think Barca were great, by the way, either.
Barcelona.
No, they weren't. They weren't great. So that could happen. We could have an all-English semi-final if they both go through. And how many fans would love to see Liverpool and United face each other in the Champions League?
I would love that because we'd stand a great chance.
As a neutral, that would be brilliant.
God.
To be able to watch, and then I can get my own back when you two come in the studio next time.
One of us will be Ronaldo crying.
There's no chance of two all-English semi-finals. There could, though, be an all-England final. If Spurs progress, they will face Ajax or Juventus. The same applies if City progress, they'll face Ajax or Juventus. By the way, I think City will still end up winning that because key injuries now, no Harry Kane, reliant on Son. I just can't see Spurs going to the Etihad and turning this around because City score... They're going to score more than once, aren't they? Yeah. Man United, if they beat Barca, then they will face either Liverpool or Porto, as we've mentioned. So it could be Liverpool, Man City.
I can't bear this because...
So it's like the title race, everything this year.
I need to shut my eyes to that one. I actually can't process it. So we'll just see what happens.
Whilst I don't want to see an all-English final, because for me, I'd like to see a great European team up against Manchester United, of course, or Liverpool or City, I'll give it to you both. It's so healthy to see that English teams are yet again dominating in Europe. I think it's really good because there was that lull, wasn't there, for a good few seasons where they're like, well, you've got all this money, you have these amazing players, you're basically going to lose out on attracting players by not having enough teams in Europe. So I think being involved in European competitions then brings your bigger names in and just makes the league even more powerful.
All right, well, that's the best of what Europe has to offer. But coming up, we're getting down to business.
Hello and welcome to a brand new podcast for TV fans by TV fans, dedicated to everything on the box that's both on and in demand.
When I first got into this, I was worried about bad reviews. And then I realised it didn't hurt. But I say thank you to the nice ones.
On my Sky Planner, you will see things like Wheeler Dealers, the world's most luxurious airliners.
It's Mr. Saturday Night himself. It's Emma O'Leary.
Ready for your Tuesday morning commute. Series linked with me, Emma Bullimore, and Mark Jeffries.
All right, well, this Sunday just gone, seen the EFL choose their players of the season for each league. Norwich's Timo Pukki for the Championship, Luton's James Collins for League One, and then Tranmere's James Norwood for League Two. All of them total goal machines. And let's be honest, Timo Pukki not only deserves the accolade of the best in the Championship, but Norwich have probably done the best business of the season with him, right? So the Finnish player joined the Canaries in the summer on a free transfer from Danish club Brøndby. So undoubtable value there. Let's look back at the transfer market this season, ladies, and find out if there's any other club that we think spin as savvy as Norwich in terms of good business.
And if we go for the Premier League, of course, I'm going to start with Jean Moutinho at Wolves, because 5 million, wow, you can't get much better than that. And sticking in the top flight, I would say, given all the speculation that's happening about the summer and big spending going on, Aaron Wan-Bissaka at Crystal Palace, because already the stories are coming in that Manchester United are going to field a bid. They're prepared to actually even swap two players, two for one. That is when you know that a quality player is good enough, is when you're prepared to let two go for him to make way. So they're saying about £40 million on his head, and he's come through the academy, he's only 21. So great future ahead for him. Harvey Barnes as well, I would mention, because he was going great guns, scoring for fun at West Brom. They ended, didn't they, Leicester, his loan spell there to bring him back to Leicester. But he's got into the first team, and I think that he'll probably progress there as well. So it's been good. And in the Premier League, I'll round off the Premier League ones. I have got a couple in the Championship. Guendouzi, I'd say, Arsenal, 8 million. For Arsenal standards, that's pretty good.
I'm going to chip in with Johnny Evans, former Manchester United, of course. But for Leicester, I think he's been really, really good for them, especially when we're talking like Moutinho about players in their advancing years who come in at a lower price. Of course they do because of their age, but actually put in a solid amount of game time and perform, even to the extent that Johnny Evans has relegated captain Wes Morgan to the bench. He's 31, signed from relegated West Brom for £3.5 million, and I think a really good bit of business for Leicester. VVD as well, I know it was in January last year, but just this season has cemented the fact that was great business for both sides, wasn't it? And also for Celtic to some extent, who got 10% of that fee.
It wasn't a bargain though, was it? But actually, he's lived up to his price tag.
But in terms of good business, I have to say, that worked out well for both clubs, but not for Manchester City, if we're speaking of Liverpool making bids to get one over.
We started with a free transfer that inspired this conversation. We've gone up to 75 million.
But we're still talking about value, okay? Could have been a massive risk, but I think that justifies the price tag.
You keep arguing it.
All right, then. Hayley?
I did once buy a leather jacket for 500 quid and it's lasted me 10 years. Okay. So there you go.
Same, right?
I am going to go to Leicester as well. I think Tielemans on loan, another brilliant young Belgian player. Of course, the Belgians, they just keep doing it. They keep producing these wonderful players, massively in form, not just in the league, in the Premier League, really shining, but in Europe as well.
Are they going to hang on to him?
If they can. The only problem is his price tag has gone way up.
Yeah, but I actually think he'll relish the chance to be at somewhere like Leicester where he can perhaps put in a solid season there, impress, work on his game, get that first team football, because he has always been pipped as a really exciting young prospect, right? And what's really nice as a neutral is to sort of see that coming into full.
Not just a young prospect anymore, is it?
He is the
real deal. And in fact, he comes only behind Kylian Mbappe in terms of stats. If you look at all of the stats combined across Ligue 1, Bundesliga, La Liga, the Premier League and Serie A. So I think if they can keep hold of him, that would be a huge bit of business done as well. I'm going to take you to Scotland as well Aberdeen's Sam Cosgrove. Goodness me, he's really come up from nowhere. They signed him from Carlisle United. He'd played lower league football as well. He scored against Rangers, Celtic, Hearts, 20 goals a season. Derek McInnes is absolutely getting the best out of him. I know that Aberdeen are battling with Rangers right now to finish second. I think they will end up finishing third. He's 23 years old. He's earned cult status up there, and he's really exciting to watch. And I think actually at the end of this season, despite the fact he's signed a deal and think until 2022, he will be in England playing soon.
Reporting on championship matches as well for the BBC, I have to point out a couple because I'd feel bad if I didn't. So strikers, we know, are in high demand. If you can get a striker that can make that move from the Championship to the Premier League. And I think there'll be a few clubs this summer wondering if that will be the case for Neil Maupay at Brentford, because £1.6 million they bought him for, and he does score great goals. So I wonder if someone will take a chance on him. And then I'm at QPR. Here's how I link it in. I'm actually at QPR for the BBC against Swansea this week. And I'm very excited about watching Joe Roden for Swansea. He's only 21, centre back. I think Swansea have done brilliantly to replace Alfie Mawson, because we're all thinking about Alfie Mawson, how they're going to do without him. Again, they've managed to find this brilliant centre-back. He had a first senior international call-up as well in October, because that's how well he's been doing for them. So it'll be the first time I see him up close, and I'm really looking forward to watching him.
Yeah, well, we'll find out more from you about that next week. All right, well, let's wrap up with any other business stories that we've got to mention this week. Hayley, we're heading north with you.
We are, because I noticed in the Highland League clash between Nairn County and Fort William, which was
Nairn's oatcakes, by the way. Anyway, go
on.
Sorry.
Are good, aren't they?
Really good.
And William has a great fort. But I passed this news on to Sky Sports as it had happened, because I sign up now to, of course, a lot of the local Scottish papers, including the Highland League. And the match was delayed because, so the referee got stuck in traffic.
Okay.
So the traffic in the Highlands, I know, can you believe it?
Catastrophic.
Well, probably caught behind cattle. Okay. But it was actually delayed because of deer poo. There was so much deer poo on the pitch. They had to get, imagine scooping that off. Just gross. Fort William as well, they've had some bad luck. They haven't won a match in almost 2 years since beating Strathbeath Thistle in April 2017. Doesn't help with my lisp, does it? I have an occasional lisp, which is great as a TV presenter.
It's hard not to have a lisp with Strathbeath Thistle.
I know. And the season before, they began on negative points. They were penalised for fielding ineligible players. So they've had bad luck.
Naughty.
But I think, oh dear, this one was definitely the worst.
Dear, indeed.
And of course, I like looking back to see what other games have been either called off or abandoned because of, you know, really strange things. And I'd noticed just a couple of years ago, Frome Town up against Chippenham Town clashed with a cheese festival. And the league allowed them to move it. So there you go.
I would personally go to the cheese festival every time.
That would be a tough call. Mm-hmm.
What a damn shame about that. Bada boom. Oh. And Claypole versus Victoriano is in Argentina. four seasons ago, there was a mass brawl and the referee handed out 36 red cards. The game was abandoned.
How do you have that?
22 players.
Exactly. Fans were on the pitch. The red cards were just flying. I think every single member of the coaching staff of either side in Argentina was handed a red card. I don't know how they would be punished where that goes down. But yeah, it was all kicking off in Argentina. So just a couple of examples of other games that have been called off. Perhaps if you're on Twitter as well, you can maybe send us some in as well. If you've had a local game and it's been called off for a strange reason, get in touch.
I can't get that ridiculous interview with Kelly Cates, Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher. I just can't get out of my head.
Strange.
If you haven't seen it, and I know you probably have if you're listening, but go and check it out. We basically have an explanation on it now, don't we? So it was all meant to be Carragher and Neville going off to interview Hasenhüttl.
Have you got my lisp? You've got a speech impediment just like mine.
But it just looks so weird. And I wondered if you two had any awkward interview experiences ever. I know I'm dropping that on you now, but have you ever had, I mean, surely none can be as bad as that. Oh, I know one of yours, Lindsay, but
Dean
I don't think
Saunders.
We're
like, yeah. I don't like to remind it because we've actually...
explain all.
No, we've ended up like doing karaoke in a room with Dean Saunders, and this was post, do you remember?
Yes.
And this was post this happening, and I was just thinking, please don't remember that was me. But yeah, the fan came out once. Dean Saunders took Wolves down, didn't he, when we did the double drop from the Premier League. And I think 10 games to go, I interviewed him post-match and we hadn't scored a goal in 10 matches.
And you were a bit...
And I went both barrels for an explanation and he walked out.
I remember doing an event. It was an internal event and thank God it wasn't filmed for the FA. There were, you know, a lot of coaches in this room. It was a coaching seminar where they bring them all together at the end of the season and chat about various things. And we had a few members of the youth setup, so ranging from sort of 15, 16 right up until about 19. And I'd been given a few names on some of the youngsters that were going to come up and speak. And they're not that confident about sitting on a stage with a microphone, chatting to, you know, ex-pros who are now coaches and their peers and their mentors. So it was already quite nerve-wracking for them, trying to put them all at ease. And I'd had my little pictures and done all my research on each of these players. And when they turned up, there was one player that turned up to come on the stage and I didn't know who he was. I had absolutely no idea.
So what did you do?
I was trying to work it out. There was nobody to ask. I interviewed him not knowing who he was. So he was sat in a line of four with three other players and I'd had my little stat pack, which I don't normally take my notes up onto the stage, maybe have a little few cue cards with some stats about the under 17s and 21s because they were, of course, doing really successfully at that time and heading into another tournament in the summer. And it was sort of like a process of elimination. You know, you ask the yes and no game. It was a bit like that. And I was trying to ask him as many questions as I possibly could to try and figure out who he was
and narrow it down. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, it was awful.
Did you get there?
Yeah, and I can't remember who it was now. I can't remember. It was only at the end of last season and I still can't remember. So that was embarrassing. Yeah.
Lindsay?
So I'm starting to get a little bit irked by football gestures of love, right? Because we love football, all three of us. We absolutely love it. We talk about it every week. We go to matches, but none of us would accept being proposed to at a football game or anything like that. We'd all hate it. I know we would.
Yeah,
we would. Collectively. I mean, it doesn't matter how much I love Wolves. I don't want to be proposed to at Molineux. You wouldn't want to be proposed to at Old Trafford. You wouldn't want to be proposed to at Anfield.
Although I was on a working trip presenting Scottish football when I was proposed to. A trip that I'd arranged at work and paid for that my other half came on.
It was after work. And it was a nice romantic setting.
It wasn't in the bar at Celtic or anything, was it? It was somewhere.
And also, you weren't wearing your shirts.
True.
I mean, this takes it to a new level. There is a linesman who proposed to a lineswoman in full kit ahead of a fourth division match in Romania. So that's ahead of the match. So he asks her, I presume, because they put it on Twitter, she said yes. And then rather than being like, oh, we're getting married, let's tell family and friends, they refereed a fourth division match in Romania. Yeah. I just don't get it.
What about people who get married at football clubs? They're like, married, no.
And they have wedding dresses made out of old shirts and things like that. It's a whole new level.
Blue suspender might be, you know, something from Manchester City or something. You know, perhaps a hidden gesture's nice.
I mean, the football can bring people together. You know, many people have met at the football. Maybe that's why it's got a special meaning. And I can understand maybe... I can even understand more when you die, maybe scattering your ashes or something like that. But actually, the moment that you cement your romance and... say I do you want that to be
And having like you'll never walk alone as you walk down the aisle. It's more like the coffin going into the cremation.
Yes.
You know, as opposed to the
wedding. I wonder how many dead people are scattered on football pitches.
A lot.
I wonder if you can do a count on, you know, actually if you're playing at the Etihad or at Anfield, how many dead people are you playing
but
amongst?
What I'm saying is I understand that football can be life and death, but it's not love.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that's quite profound from Lindsay Hooper. We're going to wrap things up there. I'm not here next week, by the way. So you're going to have a special guest. You can get in touch with us. Please do tell us what you think of the show at Offside Rule Pod on Insta or on Twitter. Please do tuck into the brilliant articles on our website. You have a player of the week there each week. We do Weekend Wanderings, which is a preview ahead to the weekend, picking out a couple of good talking points for you. OffsideRulePodcast.com.
We got a lovely review, didn't we, ladies? Very good presenting group, tick. Knowledgeable, informed football chatter, tick. They work in football, genuine fans, tick. Is it relevant that they're all female? Like, we love stuff like this.
Yes, please do.
Please.
How do they do it, Hayley McQueen?
Okay, so you head to the section that says leave a review, wherever that is, on whichever device or means that you're listening to, and you basically write wonderful things about all three of us, or just me if you want, and then you go to the stars, you click the final box, which is the fifth star, to basically give us 5 out of 5, because that's how we roll.
Please do, we love it. Oh, and we need your votes, by the way. We've been nominated for a Webby, which are some huge website awards in America. We're being slightly outdone by NFL podcasts with millions of fans. Head over to our Twitter and you'll find a pinned tweet there. It's on yours as well, Lindsay, and we'll keep posting it up. We'd love your vote. That's the People's Voice Awards on the Webbies. Please get involved with that. Do subscribe to us as well. Don't miss us every Friday. It's The Offside Rule signing off for now.
The Offside Rule is a Muddy Knees Media production. For sales and advertising, email sales@muddyneesmedia.com.